Well, good afternoon and welcome to our virtual meeting. It's 1:30 p.m. on May 4th, 2021, and time to reconvene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Sid Logan, President of the Commission. In accordance with the Governor's Proclamation 20-28.15, we are holding meetings remotely. Online today, we have Commissioner Rebecca Wolf, Commissioner Tony Olson, John Harlow, our CEO General Manager, Ann Spangler, our General Counsel, Melissa Collins, our Commission Executive Services Director, Allison Morrison, our Assistant Clerk of the Board, and Jenny Rich and Lila Wall, our Deputy Clerks of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please mute and turn off the camera on your devices when not speaking. I will ask for questions or comments on agenda items as each is discussed. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Some questions can be answered during the meeting and others may require more time. Please indicate you would like to speak by clicking raise hand, or if joining by phone, dial *9 and I'll call on you to speak at the appropriate time. Are there any items to be added or changes to be made to the published agenda today?
We do have an at places addendum.
Okay, well, at item 4A, add to at places minutes cover sheet due to a system glitch with Board Advantage during a weekend update. So this meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, state and spell your name and indicate where you're from. Comments from the public is item 3 on today's agenda, and that's when the board will hear comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. So first up, we have item 2, recognition declarations. A, Employee of the Month for May, Jeff Feinberg. We have Pam Bailey and Sherry Miller here to introduce Jeff.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Pam Bailey, AGM, Customer and Energy Service. And we're so excited to share our May Employee of the Month with you. This nomination was made by 3 of Jeff's employees. And today, Sherry Miller, being one of those employees as an Energy Service Program Manager, wanted to represent the team and provide the announcement of the recognition. So, Sherry?
Thank you, Pam. Good afternoon, Commissioners. I have written something that I would like to read to you about my working with Jeff. It is my great honor to speak to you about Jeff today as he receives this well-deserved recognition of Employee of the Month. Jeff has been our manager of energy services for almost 2 years. It didn't take long to experience the breath of fresh air he has been to our department. He had a short 9 months to work in the office with us before COVID-19 changed our lives. Jeff had been doing a great job of getting to know all of us and what we do at a very quick pace, which continued after COVID started. He brings so much forward in his skill set to support all of us, including a calm voice of reason to guide us through decisions and problem solving. A holistic view of the PUD and how energy services can best support the district. An ability to remove long-standing barriers resulting in program progress, including new programs getting off the ground after 10 years. Innovative partnerships with other utilities to create stronger programs, improving customer support. Program pilots to test new ideas. Revamping of existing programs to provide a refresh, bringing them up to date. A pipeline to bring forward new ideas from all of us in energy services. And while I can talk all day about the measurable work accomplishments he has supported and encouraged, the piece I find most important with Jeff as a manager is his human factor. This showed vividly when the PUD closed its offices and energy services began to work from home last March. Here are some of his actions that stood out for me. As we were allowed to borrow office equipment, he offered to help all of us move what we needed home and was willing to drive his van to Issaquah or Bellingham if necessary. He even made a special trip to the electric building to help me load my chair into my vehicle. Jeff then started sending his morning check-ins. I found this to be a genius approach and began to look forward to them every day. These emails would update us with PUD COVID progress, pertinent local and national news, and also include inspiring quotes and links to informative and encouraging articles and videos. Article and video topics would range from people supporting each other during the pandemic in inspiring ways, to a polite dog with eyes wide open, looking back and forth from owner to leash without making a sound and silently asking for a walk. He would also ask for report outs of our weekly work progress so he would know where we all were at every week. These check-ins would provide a daily lift, a smile, and linked all of us together. During the initial stage of the pandemic, when we didn't know whether it would be a week or two, he would say, "Don't underestimate how big this thing is." And this statement prepared us for what was ahead and to settle in for the long haul instead of being lulled into thinking COVID was only a small bump in the road. One of my favorite parts of the check-ins was his questions, usually three, and here are some samples. Who is your favorite president? When you were a kid, who was your most memorable teacher and why? What is your favorite takeout? Which beach in the world would you like to be at? And one of my favorites, if you were a dog, what type would you be? He would then later send an email with all of our answers. In that simple act, I felt so connected to my department, everyone in it, and my manager. I learned from everyone's answers so much more about each coworker and Jeff, since he would answer too. And I remember contacting a golden retriever coworker to say, "Yes, I can see you being a golden retriever." His quotes hit the mark, providing an emotional lift as we continued to work from home, isolated from the office and each other. Maybe one day we can publish a little inspirational book of his quotes to inspire us for the rest of our lives. And here are a few. As we gaze into the chasm that can be Thursday, know that when you jump and clear it, many wonderful things await on the other side. This might be a Jeff original. The earth does not belong to us. We belong to the earth. Chief Seattle. Failure is not fatal, but failure to change might be. John Wooden. Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. Ferris Bueller. These daily emails supported all of us to the extent that not only did we reach goal last year, we exceeded it. During a worldwide pandemic where some other utilities fell short of their goals, Jeff rose to the challenge and used all of his strengths and gifts to support us in every way he could. He has a warm heart. He cares deeply for the PUD and all of us. And he is willing to do what it takes to reach our goals while lifting each of us individually. He is kind and courteous to everyone. He treats us all equally, never showing favoritism. He is even there for us on his days off with phone calls. He believes in each of us and is willing to mentor all of us to be the best we can be. He probably sees beyond the potential we see in ourselves. And he is willing to show himself going through this pandemic process too. We even received proud pictures of him cutting his kids' hair for the first time and with great results. The bottom line is he puts us first. And because of this, as a manager and a human, Jeff excels. Thank you. Back to you, Pam.
Yeah, thank you, Sherry. Commissioners, as you can see, Jeff Feinberg has really made a difference through his leadership. And, you know, I'm so proud that he's a role model that inspires all of us. So please join me in congratulating Jeff as May Employee of the Month.
All right. I invite everyone to turn on their cameras if they'd like and help us get some applause to Jeff.
Oh, well, now I lost you. What happened?
Jeff is just an remarkable gentleman. And I early on, from the very beginning of my tenure here at PUD, I could tell this man is really extraordinary. And I'm very grateful for the person that he is and all that he brings to the PUD and to the world, you know, to everyone who knows him.
Yeah, so well said.
Thank you, Jeff.
Well said. You know, Jeff, we saw you had a warm heart and cared so much about our customers, and you've done so much for them. And so I'm not surprised to hear today that that same empathy is helping you be a wonderful, caring leader. So congratulations. Very well deserved.
Commissioner Olson, you know what? I perked up when I heard that you were able to get programs that have been on the shelf for 10 years out the door. That takes a heck of a lot of work, bringing people together. And also a servant leader approach. That is rare. And in the description that you presented it in our briefing, in our packet, what a talent. We're very, very lucky to have you.
I agree with all of that, and this is absolutely well-deserved. Jeff has demonstrated, not just through the pandemic, I think the pandemic gave him an opportunity to shine even greater, but he is really just a wonderful leader and a great part of Team PUD. Well-deserved, Jeff.
Well, let's give Jeff another round of applause, and then Jeff, I invite you, if you have anything you want to say. I will be thinking all day what kind of dog I am. I hope I'm not a dachshund.
Oh, can we do that now? I love that.
You start first.
What kind of, I want to be a bulldog because I'm not nice.
Well, I
immediately went to that. That's not hard to do.
I am slightly mortified that some of my silly sense of humor is now, you know, captured in the public record for forever.
Oh, we love it. We love it.
I guess I just want to say I'm overwhelmed at the kind things that everyone's shared and said here. And Sherry, thank you. And, to my whole team, I think it's just been a real honor to get to work with this team. And, you know, it's pretty fantastic when you're a leader and really your biggest responsibility is just to kind of move things out of the way and let your team shine. And I feel like that's something I've had the privilege to do over my time in this group. And to Pam, thank you for trusting me with getting to lead the teams that you've allowed me to be in leadership of. And I just appreciate the opportunity. And I just feel like every day my job's kind of fun, getting more fun. And it's just been a sweet thing that, you know, so many of my values happen to be what my job is. And so that's a pretty fun place to live in. And so I feel very fortunate. So thank you. This is, again, such a surprise. And thank you. That's all I can say.
I can't let you go without what kind of a dog for you? I can't let this go.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back. I think I probably at that time would have said maybe a beagle, because it probably captures like something about a certain kind of energy, and maybe they don't really understand that they're not as big as they think they are.
Yeah,
and all that sort of thing. So yeah, it's probably like something that. In there.
I love it. I love it. That's great.
So I have a question for you, Jeff, if that's okay.
Sure.
When you were doing the mountain living in, was it Colorado?
Yes.
Were you off the grid?
I wasn't, despite the way the beard and the hair appear right now. No, I wasn't. And my mom would probably be mortified that I didn't do more to trim this up before showing up here. No, I lived in Fort Collins, Colorado for 4 years. Oh, and then I also lived in Silverthorne, Colorado, right in Summit County at 9,000 feet elevation for a year. And that was...
Wow.
From a kid from the Gulf Coast, that was a pretty tremendous experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff, and congratulations.
Thank you all.
Next, we have item 3, comments from the public. Are there any comments from the public on item not on today's agenda? When I call on you, please state your first and last name for the record. So first, I will call on Mr. James Deal. Go ahead, Mr. Deal. Mr. Deal, you're muted. Mr. Deal, can you unmute? Jenny or Allison, do you see
I'm
something?
Unmuting again.
There you go.
There he is.
Hear you.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Mr. Deal.
Good afternoon. Well, everybody's really nice to each other, and I'm the bad guy because I have to point out to you that this is a scam. This smart meter scam is a con job, and it's totally unnecessary. We have self-reporting. It works. You charge people $19 if they don't self-report. We also have a technology that's used in France. It's also used in New Hampshire. It's called Powerline, so that the reporting goes from the smart meter back through the electric lines. So it's a software thing. You don't need to buy 300,000 radios and put them on every single house. And you also have the Eydro technology, EYDRO.com. That is a device that plugs into your panel and then into category 6 cable so that your computer gets it and it automatically can report your monthly usage. Now, I want to address Toni especially because she made an effort to state clearly that she was against anything that would raise the rates. And this has got to raise the rates because these so-called meters, which are little computers, are always on. They're always broadcasting up to 190,000 times a day. And there are estimates that you're going to have to raise the rates. Everywhere that they've put in smart meters, they've had to raise the rates. It happened in Seattle. It's happening everywhere. Now, I've done a rough amortization of $90 million at 3% interest over 30 years. That your monthly payment on the mortgage is going to be close to $400,000 a month. So how can you conclude that it's not going to raise your rates? And then last week, you talked about opt-out. The opt-out programs are a diversion to make people think, oh, well, I can protect myself because I can opt out. But I'll tell you what, your whole neighborhood is going to be, this is what you're going to have in your whole neighborhood, is these meters constantly broadcasting, chattering to each other. And let me turn down this recording. So that's what you're going to have. You're going to fill the whole neighborhood with this noise that affects insects, and the total world insect population is dramatically dropping, and it could be our overuse of microwave radiation. So you can't opt out if you're a business. If I build that 15-unit apartment, I will be forced to have smart meters. And the opt-out meters are the electronic meters, which are not grounded and not surge protected. And these are a security hole so that people can listen to your every conversation in your home. And then there's the procedure question, which has been raised. You haven't followed due process. You haven't had public meetings. All you've had is indoctrination sections led by John and all of his friends. And it appears to me that John probably came to this office already determined to install these smart meters. It's just like a kid who wants a Christmas toy. He wants to have these readings on his computer that shows all the usage. Well, it's not necessary. It's expensive. Everything else. No vote of the people. You're going to spend $90 million. And then there's the insurance question. You cannot buy insurance for the harms that these devices will produce. And that's from Lloyd's of London. So I would ask Ms. Spangler, can you sell these bonds and tell the bondsman that you can't get insurance on the harms that they will cause? And then there's the violation of law. The National Electrical Safety Code will be violated. And you'll say, well, other cities have done this. And how did they get away with it? Well, there's a lot of laws that are being broken, and these will break laws. And then there's the scope of the easement question. When meters were put in, they were supposed to be grounded and surge protected. And now you want to put in meters that catch fire. And then you have the people who are hypersensitive. You know, we're all going to be hypersensitive at some point if we keep increasing the amount of microwave radiation. But the hypersensitives, you just turn your cold heart to them and say, ah, just ignore these people. They're malingering. No, they're not. They're what all of us are going to be suffering from if we continue without adding up the total amount of microwave radiation. That's the issue. It's not, this is not just one little thing more. This is going to fill the whole neighborhood, the whole area, the whole county with unnecessary radio broadcasting everywhere.
You're right at 5 minutes. I'll give you another 30 seconds to wrap up.
What you should do is John should quit $400,000 a year for what? To mislead this county? And Sid is a member of two organizations that are devoted to smart meters. He probably was committed to smart meters before he ever joined the PUD. So you need to totally reconsider this con job.
Thank you, Mr. Deal.
You're welcome.
Next up, we have Gayla Shoemake. Good afternoon, Gayla. You need to unmute yourself.
I said, yeah. Good to see you, all the commissioners. Hello. I'm Gayla Shoemake from Edmonds. Well, I do agree with some of the things that Mr. Deal said, but I have something else to talk about today, and that is your pilot project, your flex time, flex response, and flex peak. I was thinking, what do those people who opt out, how can they use this? Well, I figured, you know, I used to have, when I had my house, I had a programmable thermostat, and it could, I think, take four sets on, off, on, off, on, off, on, off in one day. So if I were to opt out, I can't because I'm in an apartment building. So I'm sorry that you don't let us be involved, but so I would have set it up probably so that I would never be on peak. I would be always on either the discount and maybe regular, but I would never be on peak. So what I ask you to do is figure out a way that you can verify that information from people who have the programmable thermostats. I think that would be a reasonable thing to do, and would also perhaps get you a little more positive feedback from the community where there is sort of an undercurrent of opposition. So I guess you're not going to be able to help me, but I think that would be a good idea. So I'm just asking you to think about it. Okay?
Thank you, Kayla. Mm-hmm. So we had one other person whose hands up was up briefly. Besides Mr. Deal and Ms. Shoemake, is there anyone else who wants to raise their hand? Okay, I have not seen anyone else. Next, we move on to the consent agenda, item 4, 4A, approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of April 20th, 2021, 4B, bid awards, professional service contracts and amendments, and 4C, consideration of certification and ratification and approval of district checks and vouchers, and D, consideration of a resolution designated an authorized representative for alternate for coordinating matters related to the district's request for certain disaster assistance funds from appropriate federal and state agencies for the December 29th, 2020 through January 16th. 2021 severe winter storm, straight line winds, flooding, landslides, and mudslides. I will call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay. Are there any comments from the public regarding the consent agenda? If so, please raise your hand.
I have, excuse me. I'll wait. Okay. Thank you.
I'm not seeing any from the public. Are there any questions or comments from the commissioners?
I don't have any questions, but I was just looking at the state award for, what are they, Digger Derrick, something or other? Boy, those puppies are expensive. Just an observation.
Well, at the last meeting, this is Commissioner Wolf. The last meeting, I brought up the point that we're actually not following our policy. And then our Melissa Collins sent a clarification to remind us that we will deal with that policy when we can meet in person again and when we can work on our policy. So meanwhile, I'll go with the protocol, even though it is in violation of our policies, but I'll go with the protocol until we have a chance to discuss those in our next board workshop. So that was my comment.
Thank you. And you know, another thing, Commissioner Wolf, if there's ever any part of the consent agenda that you want to vote on separately, you mm-hmm. can just ask and we'll pull that part out and we'll put it as an item for individual consideration so okay. that you're not voting against the payroll and everything else.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. All right, no other comment. I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye, motion carried. Next is item 5, items for individual consideration. 5A, consideration of a motion accepting the first October 2021 financial conditions and activities monitoring report. I will call for a motion.
I move acceptance.
Okay, we have Scott Jones here to provide us with the presentation. Good afternoon, Scott.
Thank you, Commissioner Logan. And thumbs up if you can hear me okay. Thank you. You are getting a poor substitute today. Julia usually is here, our controller, to do this presentation, and she's out on some much deserved and earned time off. So I am batting as a substitute here, but we'll probably move pretty quickly. I don't want us to put too much stock or over evaluation in a first quarter report. We've got a lot of activity yet to go in the year, and obviously the timing of some things and, you know, construction projects and stuff in particular can move the needle. So we'll flip through this fairly quickly. If you've got a question, please jump in along the way. And Leela, there we go. So here's a broad overview. You've seen this one before. As a reminder, we are occasionally putting in your packages a budget variance to actual report that's summarized in the back of the packages. You saw that at the last commission meeting. So we'll lean in the direction of the actual versus prior year numbers today, but some of this actual versus budget stuff is similar to what you would have seen in that summarized package already. If you go back and look at those packages sometimes, you might find a little bit of movement in some of the numbers as we finished polishing and closing for the quarter. So you might see a number that's a little off here compared to what you saw a couple weeks ago as we just were sort of perfecting the numbers. But we'll flip quickly through. Net income is down a bit, and we'll talk about why in just a few minutes on some later slides. And the operating revenues are fairly stable, similar to last year. And then our expenses are up a bit, and we'll talk through just the reasons for that. Looking at operating revenue, the main thing that's going on here is similar to what we saw last year, which is, you know, we're seeing a dip in some C&I, and then we're seeing an uptick in residential, and that trend seems to continue. Obviously, we'll be watching that for the year as the state perhaps continues to open up. Of course, some news today that it'll be slowed for a bit. But retail sales, as we've talked about, is largely anchored in the residential. Not much to report here on the wholesale and revenues and the other revenues. This is a graphical representation you've seen before with residential, commercial, industrial, wholesale. You'll see that slight uptick in residential and the slight downtick in commercial and industrial this year compared to last year. Remember, the last year we were just starting the shutdown, the pandemic, you know, closures at the end of that first quarter. So last year's first quarter was a little bit more normal, I'll say, and this year's has the impact of those uptick in residential and decline in commercial. The numbers at the end of the bar reflect roughly what the rates are that we've established for each one of those classes. So, and then we're just down a little bit in wholesale. looking at expenses, really the main thing to talk about here is operating expenses, and it's rooted in a couple of things. The storms are one. You just approved a FEMA declaration and designee for us to work with the state and with FEMA on some reimbursements. Those couple of storms had us incurring several million dollars, of course, during the early part of this year. So that's reflected in these numbers. There's a few other little things in there. Customer assistance program still, you know, we're still supporting that program this year as well. But largely that's going to be about the storms. Purchase power is just barely off from our expectations, so not much to talk about there. You've seen this before. This is a sourcing graph on power supply, BPA, block and slice. We've got wind is down a little bit, and then our generation is down a little bit. That's mainly just availability of hydro 1 year to the next, and that'll move that number around. And then obviously market purchases could be pushed up as our own generation and hydro availability is pushed down. So those things would kind of balance each other out. The only quirky one here I'll draw your attention to is the interest income. So I don't want to get everyone bogged down in wonky finance stuff, but that's a technical term, wonky finance stuff. But we, in fact, do earn interest income. So the 2021 zero is a little bit misleading there, because what is also in that number from an accounting perspective is all of the mark-to-market that we have to do for our investments. So there's real earnings on investments, and then there's mark-to-market related to the investments that we hold. And when you kind of put all those things together, it shows a little bit of a misleading zero. It's down from last year because the mark-to-market impacts last year were greater than the mark-to-market impacts this year. So if you want to dive into the finance stuff there, we're happy to, but that's a little bit of a financial mark-to-market movement that's kind of kicking that number out. And it does have an impact on our net income, but over time, it sort of washes itself out as we actually realize those investment gains and losses.
Scott, don't apologize for being wonky, because that's how we learn. You know, I mean, that's our job. You know, we have fiduciary responsibility for this PUD.
Absolutely.
I for one, really, I'm interested to learn how, you know, some of this works. So go right ahead. Be wonky all you want.
Well, thank you.
Work for me.
I will be happy to be as wonky as we need to be on any of these as you have questions.
Yeah.
Thank you. And then capital expenditures, again, I wouldn't put too much weight in an early capital expenditures number or a trend line. A lot of that is dependent on weather and when we pick projects up and get moving on them. So this number becomes more meaningful for me later in the year as we kind of get more months under our belt. But we're trending a little behind, and Guy Payne and Jason and others are kind of watching the trend line for their capital projects. We've been talking a little bit about that at the executive team, but we'll keep an eye on that later this year and see if it pulls back. So this is just a recap of the same slide as before, and obviously jump in if you have any questions so far. The financial conditions, this is Commissioner Olson. We typically will show you the outstanding bonds. This is, we will celebrate that we are under 400. I hear that my predecessor felt very strongly about getting that number under four. So I'm going to both congratulate him and everything that he did and the rest of the team to get us here. And then we're just going to blow it out of the water because we are going to do another borrowing here this summer. But the good news is we are, as Lauren talked about this morning, we have some big projects coming up over the next 2 or 3 years. And luckily, we're in a very good rate environment right now to utilize some, what I would say, some very cheap money for our expenditure. So that's the good news. So this number is going to pop back up and we'll keep working it back down over time. But on balance, nothing big to note. Operating reserves are, the reserves in total are still very strong. Our financial ratios are incredibly good. And our bond ratings are holding steady. So I continue to believe that the district has been for a while and still is in very, very good financial condition.
This Commissioner Olson, go back the previous slide, but I think the point I was trying to get at this morning was, it's gonna jump in terms of outstanding bonds, but based on what I'm seeing the plan is for additional issues, that number is going to increase quite a bit, right?
It is, Commissioner Olson. The one thing, and again, I'll characterize this as getting into a bit of the wonky stuff too. When you imagine the next 30 or 40 years of the district's debt service, the one nice thing that we have the ability to do, like any other large public utility or debt placement entity, is we can kind of target some of that debt service into certain places so that we can build a trend line that actually, helps smooth out our cost footprint. So imagine your mortgage, you sort of do it and you set it and forget it and it's 30 years and you've got a payment of $1,000 a month and you do that for 30 years. We get to do a little bit more playing around with those kinds of things and the way we structure this. And so we can fill in holes and pull back in areas so we can make sure that the cost structure for our customers is as kind of smooth and comfortable as it can possibly be. And Jim and his team are doing a really good job of trying to strategize on that so that we don't have any significant spikes in particular areas. And so no doubt this number is going to jump up a bit in the next 2 or 3 years. But we're also being very, very thoughtful to try to put it in the right places and kind of smooth that out so the cost footprint is as good as it can be.
Okay. I have a question, please, under bond ratings. Mm-hmm. So Moody's, AA3 to AA2, now it's, okay, so what's the best of that system? Is AA1 or what? What is the A? I mean, I'm sure I could research this, but if you don't mind, a quick.
Well, let me see if Jim Herling's still on, and I'm going to let him jump in. But yes, that is an improvement bump, and Jim can give you the details on this. But I'll tell you that the district is very, very high, not at the top, but very, very high. It's almost impossible to get a perfect bond rating. That's something that I could argue all afternoon that the district probably deserves based on its financial footprint. But that's a whole issue that's 25 years in the fighting for me, and I don't want to take up everybody's time. But we have a very, very good debt rating that is short of perfect, but good. Jim, you could probably speak to the tiers.
Sure. So Commissioner Wolf, the best rating that you can get from any of the rating agencies is what they call AAA. Mm-hmm. And so, and Fitch and Standard & Poor's use the same nomenclature. Moody's is a little bit different, but so you would have three capital A's for Fitch, right, and Standard & Poor's. And so I believe Standard & Poor's actually downgraded the United States government here a few years ago, but typically, that's what you'll see. The AAA rating is usually a federal government or a federal government agency. Then the next step down would be AA+. And then the step down from that would be AA-. And so you go from AAA to AA+ to AA to AA-.
Okay.
Then all the way down to triple B, which is what they consider, below triple B is what they consider junk bonds. When you hear junk bonds.
Right.
So we are pretty darn close to the top. AA2 is about as good as it gets. I mean, we could go to AA1 for Moody's before we would go to A, capital A, lowercase a, lowercase a.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And Jim, I'll just chime in here really quick, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but there is a cost as you go up in credit rating, meaning carrying more reserves and so on and so forth. And we're trying to be in that sweet spot, so to speak, where kind of high credit rating, but where it doesn't add additional or marginal incremental cost to get to the next rating.
Yep.
Did I say that appropriately, Jim?
Yes. Yes. The higher the rating, typically the lower your cost when you issue bonds. You know, so if let's just say, you know, AA was 5%, then if we were AA+, you know, we would be, you know, 4.5%. But John is absolutely correct. The trade-off becomes what kind of income, net income do you need to generate? What kind of cash reserves do you need to generate? And there is a balance in there. It's an art, not a science.
Right, I understand. And I remember from a few years ago, I was in a workshop having to do with water security. And they said that the cities, for example, and I think it would apply to the PUD as well, the higher your long range water security, like if you can guarantee, or if you can have a high level of confidence that your water system is going to be really good for 100 years, then your bonding capacity is going to be greater than if you have questionable. So for example, when the Tulalips put in their big water line, they used, they required, this was when they had a deal with Everett, they put in pipes that were, I think they were copper, I don't know, but they were guaranteed for 100 years to be in good shape. And so I just, that stuck with me, that it's not just about the money, well it is, but you know, it has to do with security of your assets.
Yes.
Yeah, and Commissioner Wolf, that's a great point, because and Jim and John know this, but you know, Jim was working with the rating agencies and you know, some presentations late last year where, you know, the rating agencies have begun to look much more holistically at your organization. And so if you rewind 20, 30, 40 years, the rating agencies were so singularly focused on financial, you know, financial impacts, your reserve levels, your debt levels, the, you know, and then you fast forward over a couple more decades and they start asking you questions about, you know, what your operational excellence criteria is and how your plants have been operating and what your outage maintenance plans are and all those kinds of things. And then you fast forward another couple of decades and now they're asking questions about your leadership. They're asking questions about the experience of the people, you know, involved in your company. They're asking about safety. They're asking about all these other things, you know, your cybersecurity resilience.
Right.
So they are very much expanding and getting a holistic view of the company. I would say from our perspective, and of course we're coming at it from the financial side of the house, from our perspective, the ratings today and going forward here over the next several years, these ratings are probably going to be as good of an indication of what our operational excellence is across the board, not just financial, but across the board as anything else, because they're going to want to know all these other things and they need to check those boxes to ensure that they feel comfortable. Well, so we take those meetings very seriously. We'll be having some in the next couple of weeks leading up to this next bond placement. And the one meeting that will get the troops rallied around the table and get energized and focused will be these meetings with the rating agencies, because we take those very, very seriously.
Right. Well, thank you. That's even, I was married to a broker
But, you know, that was kind of his world. And I never, I mean, I remember hearing a lot about AAA bonds, AA bonds, things like that. But I never really, you know, I never had a background in that. So I'm just curious about these ratings. And I really appreciate all the information.
Yeah. Yeah. And the short answer is they're very good. The district has a very, very good suite of ratings.
Mm-hmm.
With that, I'll press on. The only thing I'm going to mention on this slide, again, many things you've seen here before. The net write-offs numbers are a little bit misleading. In a normal pattern, this would look good. Right now, you can't really hang your hat on this because we're not doing disconnects and those kinds of things. But let me say, I want to give a shout out to Pam and her folks right now because they are doing, I mean, we've seen a big escalation in our aged accounts over the last year, 15 months or so, as you might suspect. Mm-hmm. Pam and her folks are doing a great job of working with the customers. We're doing everything we can for customer assistance because we're a financially healthy organization. We've got investments back into the community through these programs. And then Pam and her team are working really well with the customers to come up with any creative solution we can to help them get payments and not get too far behind. So I want to give them a big compliment here. They've been a great partner in trying to stay on top of these things.
Mm-hmm. This is Commissioner Olson. I just wanted to add, commissioners, we need to be prepared that we're going to see some changes as time progresses. But for me, that doesn't mean that staff hasn't been and will continue to be working their rears off. Mm-hmm. In terms of keeping these stats as best they can. Mm-hmm. But you said this isn't a little bit of an unusual situation, and it is, but I'm anticipating some months down the road that we're going to see a difference here. And it's not because our folks aren't working hard.
Yeah, Commissioner Olson, I think the way I look at this is, and this is not on this piece of paper, but you know, we normally trend a couple of million dollars of what I'll say are older receivable accounts out of a pretty, you know, tens of millions of dollars at any given point in time. And that number has actually ratcheted quite a bit up. It's going to take us a while to get that back down. I mean, yeah. We're going to have to exercise a fair amount of patience. Pam and her folks are doing a great job of, you know, we're really going to have to work with the customers and give them a fair amount of a ramp time because we're not here to try to harm our customers. We want to keep them in the best financial health that we possibly can. And so we're kind of all in this together. We're trying to do those investments in the community, and it's going to take a bit of time for us to come back from that.
And, you know, this is mostly for Toni, so she doesn't have sticker shock. I get it.
Got it. And with that, I'll wrap up really quickly with water. And I'll just say on balance, water, Brant's doing a great job managing the water side of the house. And he generally always is coming in pretty close to his trend lines and his budget. Water's a little bit down on retail sales and purchase power. You know, he'll tell you that those things trend together. You know, we'll buy more if we need more, if we're selling more, and we'll buy less if we're selling less. The only other noteworthy thing on here probably is the capital contributions, and that's just a ramp up of the capital projects and, you know, working with some of the outside parties. And some of that could be activity level, and some of that could just be timing at this time of year. We'll keep an eye on that during the course of the year. With that, I'm happy to answer any additional questions anybody has. You'll have your regular, more expertise version of this presentation the next quarter when Julia gets back. But in the meantime, I'm happy to answer questions if you have any.
Any questions for Scott?
No, not from me.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks all.
Okay, are there any comments from the public regarding the monitoring report? If so, please raise your hand. I'm not seeing any hands up. Are there any questions or comments from the commissioners?
No. Commissioner Logan, we put a motion on the table to accept. Did we take action on that?
No, we're doing that next.
All right, thank you.
So I was, the next thing is I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next is item 5B, consideration of a resolution ratifying and approving the Northwest Power Pool membership agreement, ratifying prior payments and authorizing additional payments. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay. We have John Martinson available to answer any questions regarding the resolution. We had a presentation on this at a previous meeting.
Yes.
So let me ask, is there anyone in the public that wants to see the presentation or answer or have any questions? Okay, there's none. Commissioners, do you have any questions on this item?
Just a quick review, very quick review of what are the key benefits of this ratification and approval?
Sure. We use the Northwest Power Pool for quite a few of our reliability compliance activities. Mm-hmm. We're on the planning side, as well as the system protection under frequency load shedding. Mm-hmm. We also use, for special studies for congestion on the transmission system, especially in the North Puget Sound area. So those are some of the areas. We use it also for operations training. But there's a large list. I could.
No, it's okay. I just think since this is the part of the meeting that more people in the public tune into, sometimes it's kind of good to know, well, what is that and why?
Yes.
So thank you.
Okay. Is there any other questions or comments? I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next is item 5C, consideration of a resolution to authorize the CEO General Manager to execute a biogas generator facility sublease and operations agreement with Qualco Energy Corporation. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay. So commissioners, I took a look at the preliminary pricing and I'm okay with moving forward. Mm-hmm. We have Scott Spahr here available to answer any questions about the resolution. First, I'll ask, is there any questions or comments from the public? And if so, please raise your hand. Okay, there are none. Are there any questions, comments from the commissioners?
This is Commissioner Olson. On page one of the agreement, I just didn't quite understand 1A under the term. It's effective this date for a term of this length of time. Anyway, the bottom line was I came away in reading this that I didn't understand why the effective date of the agreement didn't extend further out. It required renewal, when we're putting plant in there that lasts for years. Help me understand that part.
Yeah, there's a couple different things to unpack there. Okay. This is a cost recovery agreement, and it's tied primarily to the expected life of the engine that we're putting in there. So it is a reopener for both parties to look at the cost of energy and the cost of recovery at that point. The engine that we're putting in there, the plant that you put, that we're putting in there, the financials are all based off that 7-year time frame to the first potential rebuild. To give you an idea, the existing engine has been in there for 12 years, so we anticipate that we'll go longer than that, but that's the idea behind the reopener. The second thing to mention is that Qualco's relationship with the site is they are, in essence, the owner or the operator, and the Tulalip tribes are the owner. And so they exist on a 10-year lease agreement with the Tlazit tribes. And so these are just reopeners to allow us to make changes to the agreement if additional capital is needed. We would adjust the formula to make sure we've got cost recovery in there. And it always keeps us within the Tlazit tribe's lease.
Thank you. And just in general, these kinds of collaborative things, I can only recall one in the past that's old, which was the cogen with the mill. And when that, I'm assuming that care, a good deal of care was taken in this so that we don't end up a certain number of years down the road regretting something that we can committed to.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just general observation. You know, I know council had a really difficult time trying to work through the closeout of that one.
I think that goes back to kind of your earlier point and my earlier point that the agreement, the time scale that we're talking about is the 7 years that's tied to the expected life of the plant that we're putting in there, unless, of course, we can go longer. But we do have that out.
So that's what, okay.
With a year's notice at that point in time.
This is Jason, and I'll just add, I think the team's done a good job of trying to anticipate what those pain points could be and talking about them up front and addressing them in the agreement in hopes that we can have a good relationship with Qualco going forward, even if, you know, some issues do come up.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anything else, commissioners?
I'm just interested to hear why we might want to purchase the existing generator at some point. It's an option for us. Is there a thought that we might take over this, I mean, buy this operation or something like that? Or why might we want to purchase the existing one?
No, that's a great question. The primary reason is it's a symbiotic relationship between the engine, which is burning the biofuel and making heat and electricity. Mm-hmm. And if we need to take down our new engine that we're putting in for maintenance, we want to have the ability to still produce electricity and heat. That's the main functionality that we would see from that existing engine and generator. It's going to be heavily amortized by the time that we have that purchase option.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, we would go by that amortized value, but that's the value to us and to the operation is to let us take our time with the maintenance while we're still making heat.
Okay. So it's backup kind of. Yeah.
That's
Thank
right.
You. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Okay, I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, motion carries. Exciting project. I'd love to see it someday. Next, we have item six, our CEO General Manager report. Do you have a report for us today, Mr. Harlow?
I do. I have some things I'd like to share. First off, out of our energy services group, we're excited to start to work or restart a project with Boeing after a two-year delay to upgrade their what's called their high bay LED lighting. That project will be done in 2021 and affect about 400 of their LED or 400 plus of their lights. And the project was delayed at the request of Boeing a couple of years ago. So again, really happy to get this project kicked off. Potential savings are about 1.5 million kilowatt hours. More good news from Boeing. They want to have an in-person meeting when we are able with the Enterprise, Boeing's Enterprise Sustainability Office, to talk about our and review the power supply carbon factor, our renewable green options, and the possibility of participating in our carbon solutions program. So that's really encouraging, really exciting. Also out of the Energy Services Group, an additional 300 small business bundles were ordered in the last 2 weeks. Again, a huge thanks to the cross-marketing effort with CorpCom, and that is bringing in over 500 kilowatt hour savings for small business customers. So that program is being extremely successful. Our electric vehicles, we have residential charger incentives through the week ending, 4/23. So for April, an additional 17 incentives were selected by our customers. And we think a lot of that was due to the marketing associated with Earth Day. On our EV commercial interactive website, and charger incentives are scheduled to launch on May 12th. And the team will be coming back to the commission to provide an update on that, on those activities after the launch. And our customer service continues strong service levels, averaging 96% last week. And so that's April, end of the month, was at 95% service levels. Just incredible. Soft collections.
This is Tony. I've never heard of those numbers.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
It is.
Sorry.
That group is doing some amazing things. No, I appreciate you chiming in and recognizing that the group, again, is just doing some outstanding work. I'm now challenging Pam that I think we're going to have to raise that bar. The soft collections, as we touched on a little bit ago, the efforts from the customer service group are just under $4.7 million as of April. So again, we're continuing to see good progress on those. Out of our generation power rates and transmission group, the electric building and annex fire alarm system upgrade is complete and passed inspection from the fire marshal. The system was the building original, installed around 1992. We replaced all of the monitor panels and devices. This should improve function, reliability, and give us the capability to place certain zones in test while leaving other areas live for remodels and other work. This is a great job to Sean Wiggins and Trevor Vaden, something that we have needed to complete for several years. And the fire alarm monitor panels were obsolete and tough to get replacement parts. So kudos to get that project completed. In our power supply group, they monetized an additional 300,000 surplus renewable energy credits, achieving its budget for calendar year 2021 revenue goal of $1.4 million in total, with more potential revenue to come. HR, as a result of the advance notice incentive program, we've had 38 folks give us a notice on retirements. Again, that program is working because the advance notice for retirements allows us to be better prepared for succession planning and knowledge transfer. So again, that program is accomplishing what it was intended for. The benefits team is rolling out a never before mid-year open enrollment, May 3rd through, I think it's the end of May. It's not on my notes, but I believe it's through the end of May. It may be a 2 week period, but I can confirm that, to focus on the new high deductible health plan and health savings account to be effective starting June 1st. The team will be presenting information about the new plan at the all managers meeting on April 28th. And also the benefits team, corporate communications, and the business readiness and training teams partnered with Wellsprings EAP and Teresa Lupinanchi to conduct a variety of sessions for employees and managers to discuss the stress and mental health during this crazy pandemic. You may remember we did an interview with Teresa during the last third Thursday all hands meeting, and that was very well received. Also, just wanted to give you an update. Sherelle Gordon, our DEI consultant, will be here on property next week and begin training with our new DEI committee, and also providing a half day of training for our senior managers. And she'll also continue the review of our HR policies and procedures. And also our continuity of operations team, our COT, has been meeting weekly to coordinate the teams who are currently working on the planning and return to office date of July 1st. That is vaccines, managing remotely, contact tracing, and all the different things that are going into that effort. It's a huge effort, but again, I'm really, really proud of the team, or the work the team has been doing to get everybody ready and targeting that July 1st date. Just an extraordinary amount of work going on across the district, and I wish I could highlight or mention all of them in the report. And just not enough time to do so, but I mean, you know, I'll even mention that usually this is a slower time for some of the plat developments and new customer connections, and that's going gangbusters. I don't know if you noticed on, I think it was in Scott's monitoring report, you know, we've added an additional 6,000 plus customers over the each of the last 2 years, and we're seeing that same trend continue. So, again, typically this time of the year, there's not as much construction going on, and it's wide open throttle this year. So, again, just a huge tribute to our amazing team PUD and all the good things that folks have going on across the district. And that's it.
So I have a question about the growth, the expansion, you know, the new custom or new hooks, new connections. Are they mostly in the north end, like Marysville, Arlington?
So I don't know for sure. The last data that I looked at, I think Lake Stevens area had the most permits for new plat developments and new housing, and Monroe is also a fast growing area, Arlington as well. And really even in South County, it's amazing that that's, you know, the more congested area, but developers are finding every square inch possible to continue to build and expand in South County as well. We can provide that information on kind of the areas where we see the growth by permit. But I think that's pretty much, that's the last information that I had.
Well, that might connect with the census and our move toward expanding our board. You know, if we're gonna have more customers, more and more, then we really need to get serious about expanding our board, because UDs, but some smaller PUDs have 5. And there are, I think, definite benefits to that. And so I hope that that was the one thing I meant to ask about today, is if we could have a little progress report from Kim Johnston and her team who are studying that issue. So
yeah, I would refer to the board. I mean, I know we have that on the agenda for a future topic of discussion, and I know Kim and the team is kind of working to put that information together. So it's still in progress.
Yeah.
Any other questions for John? All right, next is item 7, commission business. We have 7A commission reports. Are there any reports, commissioners?
I have none. Other, you know, just the routine things we do every month. So.
Yeah, I have none. Commissioner Olson?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay. The next up is 7B, our commissioner event calendar. Any changes to the event calendar?
No. I don't have any parties planned. Unfortunately.
Me neither. Me neither.
Unfortunately, yeah.
And next we have our governance planning calendar, item 8A. Are there any changes to the planning calendar? So we do have the 5-member board on there to be scheduled, as well as our climate and environmental policy and community choice aggregation.
I would like to get it scheduled So I don't want to keep delaying that, you know. And I know it's been COVID time and lots and election, you know, we've just finished the legislative year or the short session. So I hope we can move forward on that expeditiously.
Commissioner Logan, we have a team put together for the 5-member board topic that we'll be meeting with John, I believe, here coming up soon. And we will be coming back to the board. We just don't have a specific date when that will be.
Thank you.
But we are working on it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So the census results are in for the county. Well, that's kind of tied to that planning session that you're talking about. I mean, if that team, Kim's team, whatever, I don't know exactly who's on it, but probably the whole government affairs group, Brenda, for sure, I would think, Brenda White. But I would, you know, I'm really happy to hear that you're moving on it. Thank you.
We're gathering information based on the board's request to come back with pros and cons, and then the process. I know that Ann Spangler has some of the legal side of it for the process that to move it forward. So we'll be coming back with all of that information.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there any further business to come before the board today, commissioners?
I have nothing.
No, I have none either.
Okay, hearing none, it is 2:41 p.m. Our meeting is adjourned. I'll remind you that we have a closed session and the link to that is in your calendars. So we'll see you in, say, 5 minutes, start the closed session.
Okay.
Stay healthy, everybody.